পুণ্ডরীক বিদ্যানিধি, রঘুনাথ দাস গোস্বামী এন্ড রঘুনন্দন ঠাকুর, সো আই ডিসাইডেড টু স্পিক অন দেম টুডে, এন্ড আই ডিসাইডেড টু স্পিক অন রঘুনাথ দাস গোস্বামী এন্ড রঘুনন্দন ঠাকুর ইন দ্য মর্নিং এন্ড বিষ্ণুপ্রিয়া দেবী এন্ড পুণ্ডরীক বিদ্যানিধি ইন দ্য ইভিনিং। So, Raghunandan Thakur, first I'll speak on Raghunandan Thakur briefly and then go to Raghunath Das Goswami. And so I decided not to read the Bhagavatam Shlok, because if I read the Bhagavatam Shlok, then I should elaborate that. Mm-hmm. So better to speak on, leave them for tomorrow. And there were three brothers. They are very great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their names are Mukunda Das, Madhav Das, and Narahari Sarkar Thakur. Narahari Sarkar Thakur, you all know of him. Like in the Gaur Aratik, we sing Narahari Adikori Chamara Dulai, Sanjaya Mukunda Basu Ghosho Adigai. So this is that Narahari Sarkar Thakur who fans the chamar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Aratik. So, he had two other brothers. They were also great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mukunda Das and Madhav Das. Mukunda Das was a physician. He was a very famous Ayurvedic doctor, and he was the physician of the king. And he was such a great devotee. One day he was treating the king. The king was sick and he was treating the king, and the king was sitting on a very high platform. And at that time, the king's servant was fanning the king with a peacock fan, peacock feather fan. And just by seeing the peacock feather, Mukunda Das developed his love for Krishna. He remembered Krishna. And remembered Krishna's pastimes, and he got into an ecstasy, and he fell from that high platform. He fainted and fell down from that high platform. And the king got very worried, and he came down, and he wondered whether he died. So he came down, and he found that Mukunda Das was all right. So he asked him whether what happened, and he said, "Actually, I have." He didn't explain, he didn't tell him the truth. So he told him that he has hysteria. You know, hysteria is a kind of medicine that you faint. So he said that I have hysteria. So from time to time I get the attack. So I just had an attack of hysteria. So, but the king could understand that he was actually a great devotee, and he fainted out of ecstasy. Now, Mukunda Das's son was Raghunandan Thakur. And Raghunandan Thakur was a great devotee right from his birth. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day when Mukunda Das went to Jagannath Puri, he used to go to Jagannath Puri every year during the Ratha Jatra. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda Das, "Mukunda Das, who is the father and who is the son? You are the father of Raghunandan, or Raghunandan is your father?" So Mukunda Das replied, "Actually, Raghunandan is my father. Because one who gives Krishna consciousness is the father. So although physically he is my son, but spiritually I received Krishna consciousness from him. So that's why he is my father." That has been described, these past tense have been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then another wonderful incident was one day Mukunda Das had to go to some work, and he told Raghunandan to make the offering to his Gopinath deity. He had his Gopinath deity. So Mukunda Das left and told Raghunandan to make the offering to the deity. So Raghunandan was just a child at that time. So Raghunandan made the offering to Gopinath and started to tell him that please eat it. But Krishna will not eat. So he started to cry. He said that my father told me to make the offering to you. Now if you do not eat, then my father will be very angry with me and he will come and chastise me. So being moved by the devotion of this child, Gopinath finished everything, ate everything that was offered to him. And so when Mukunda Das came back, so he told Raghunandan, so Raghunandan, so bring the prasad. So I want to have some Krishna prasad. So Raghunandan said, no, Krishna has eaten everything. There's nothing left. So Mukunda Das couldn't believe it at first. So the next day also he asked Raghunandan to make an offering. And he was hiding behind the door, and watching. So that day also Krishna started to eat, being moved by Raghunandan's devotion. So Krishna was eating one laddu. Laddu is actually, the real word is laddu, but here devotees call that luglu. I don't know where they got the name from. It's a sweet, round sweet ball. It's called laddu. But in ISKCON, we call that luglu. But there is no word called luglu in dictionary. You find that only in our cookbook. And Prabhupada said laddu, and devotees mistook it to be luglu. And anyway, so Krishna took up the laddu and he started to eat the laddu. And then all of a sudden Gopinath saw Mukunda Das hiding behind the closed door and watching him. So he stopped eating. And still today, in that temple of Mukunda Das, in a place called Srikhanda, Gopinath still has the half-eaten laddu in his hand. If you go there, you can still see it. So that was Raghunandan Thakur's devotion. He was a great, very great devotee. And when Jahnava Devi went to the festival of Khetori of Narottam Das Thakur, Raghunandan Thakur went with her. And he was a great dancer. Yeah. There was another devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur, and one day Abhiram Thakur and Raghunandan Thakur were dancing. And they were dancing so ecstatically that once the one ankle bell, probably you have seen when the Indian dancers dance, they wear the ankle bell. That's a combination of many small bells. So the bell went flying and went into a pond. They were dancing in the room, and quite far away there was the pond, and the Nupur, that ankle bell, flew off and fell into the pond. So that ankle bell is still preserved there now in Srikhanda. So there's not much of descriptions of Raghunandan Thakur's pastimes. But everyone knows that he was a very, very great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And about Raghunath Das Goswami, as you all know, he was one of the six Goswami Shirup Sri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Das Raghunath. So this is that Raghunath Das of the Sikh Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was born as a son of a king. In Bengal, there is a place called Saptagram. Saptagram is situated on the confluence of the Ganges and Saraswati and Jamuna. It's called Triveni. One confluence is in Allahabad, Triveni, Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. The expansion of Saraswati is actually there. Saraswati also manifests in Bengal, and also manifests, Jamuna also is manifest in Bengal, and Ganga is of course flowing. So these three rivers met again in a place called Saptagram, or seven villages. And that place was the port of Bengal at that time. And Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were the landlords of that place. Very big landlord. They were as opulent as a king. Raghunath Das Goswami's father's annual income was 20 lakhs of rupees those days. And those days the value of rupees was, with 1 rupee, one could buy 40 kilos of rice. So you can well imagine how opulent the family was. Like people would earn, general common people would earn about 4 or 5 rupees a year. Whereas their family income was 20 lakhs of rupees. That means 2 million rupees a year. Gold used to be, I don't know how, gold must have been about 5 rupees for 10 grams or so. And I have seen in India, gold used to be about 75 rupees for 10 grams. But now, the prices have gone up so much. Anyway, the understanding is that they were very, very rich. And Raghunath Das Goswami was the only son in the whole family. That means he was the only successor to the throne. And Raghunath Das Goswami came in contact with Haridas Thakur in his childhood. Yadunandan Acharya was the family priest of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Haridas Thakur was very friendly with Yadunandan Acharya. So Haridas Thakur used to visit there from time to time. And Raghunath Das Goswami's parents and his uncle also were very pious people, very devoted people. So they used to treat Haridas Thakur with great respect. And Raghunath Das Goswami came in contact with Haridas Thakur. And from his childhood, he developed great attraction for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri at that time. So Raghunath Das Goswami got to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sannyas, and he was very much heartbroken that he couldn't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur in the house of Advaita Acharya Thakur on his way to Vrindavan. You know that incident. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped, then Raghunath Das Goswami came and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and expressed his desire to go with him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him not to show this kind of false renunciation. He said, you go back home, enjoy whatever is needed for your sustenance with an understanding of Krishna consciousness, with a mood of detachment. Go and do your household duties with a mood of detachment. So that is the instruction he gave. And so Raghunath Das Goswami went back home. But his heart was always at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the family members saw that this boy has become very detached. So they got worried because he was the only son in the whole family. And in India those days, the relationship, the family tie used to be very, very strong. Even still today, the family tie in India is very strong. I think in Switzerland also it's quite strong. Or anyway. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Oh, in Italy. So, but in India it's very, very strong. Like, parents can't even imagine that the children will leave home and live separately. Even if they grow up, get married, they used to live together. Now, of course, things are changing. Now, the families are breaking down into small, small fragments. But previously, it was all the families were joint families. All the brothers would live together and their children would grow up together. Every family used to be big and there used to be many, many brothers and sisters. Like, in my childhood, I was brought up in a joint family. My fathers were six brothers, and four of them were living together, and two others were away from Calcutta. They were in, if they lived in Calcutta, then they would have been together also. and we had many, many cousins, and so it was very nice actually to be brought up in such a atmosphere. But fortunately, my mother died when I was young, and that's why I was not so attached. I didn't grow up to be so attached to the family life. So it was Krishna's mercy, actually. Now I can think, like, for an Indian, if the parents are still alive, it's very, very difficult for children to to detach themselves from their affection. That's why Narad Muni, when his mother died, he felt, it was a relief for him. Now I can meditate on, now I can dedicate myself to Krishna. So one must ultimately realize that we have to give up everything. That's what displayed very wonderfully by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he took sannyas. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, his mother was 60 years old and his wife was 16 years old. And there was no male member. It was just his mother and his wife. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home. He didn't care. Or rather, he showed us that when we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then we won't have to worry about anybody. Krishna will take care of them. Usually, it is very difficult for a 60-year-old woman and a 16-year-old, extremely beautiful lady to be alone without any protection. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left them and went to and took sannyas. So this is how Mahaprabhu taught us to become surrendered to Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami also was detached due to his attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. But the people around him, his family members, couldn't tolerate that, couldn't understand that. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to run away from home from time to time. And then his father would send men and catch him and bring him back. His father was very influential, so he would be able to get him back. But Raghunath Das Goswami's heart was not in the family. So his parents thought that if Raghunath is married, then probably if they get Raghunath married, then probably he will become attached to family life. And they got him married to a princess, an extremely beautiful girl. It has been described that her beauty was like an apsara. Apsara is a dancing girl from the heavenly planet. And she was such a beautiful lady, but still Raghunath was not attracted to her. And but after Mahaprabhu told him to go back home and take care of his household affairs, then Raghunath Das Goswami accepted Mahaprabhu's instruction and he became involved in his household activities. And everyone thought it was very nice that Raghunath became responsible. So everyone was very happy. But then after a while, although Raghunath was doing his duty externally, but internally he was not at all interested. So in the meantime, the Nawab got the information that Raghunath Das Goswami's father was not giving the right amount of tax. He was evading tax. So the Nawab, from him, the Nawab used to get a lot of money. And so somebody informed that instead of declaring 20 lakhs a year, Raghunath Das Goswami's father is declaring only 12 lakhs. And he is paying tax only on the 12 lakhs rupees that he earns, not on 20 lakhs. So the Nawab got very annoyed. The king got very annoyed and he sent his army to arrest Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar. So, but they got the news that the army was coming to arrest them, so they ran away. So, Raghunath Das Goswami was there at that time, at home, so not getting the father and uncle, they arrested Raghunath and took him to the Nawab. And Nawab wanted to torture him and threaten him to get out of him where his father and uncle are hiding. So then Raghunath would not disclose, and then finally he said that, look, you all are brothers. So you have some kind of internal dealings among each other. And I am your nephew. Why are you involving me? So why don't you brothers sort out this problem? And Raghunath spoke so sweetly, and Raghunath was also such a sweet personality that the Nawab's heart melted and tears came streaming down his beard. That's how it has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then he said, yes, that's true. You are like my son. So you go and tell your father, why is he avoiding paying tax to me? So he should declare the full amount and pay the right amount to me. And so Raghunath went. This is how Raghunath negotiated and had a kind of compromise among them. And but this incident shook Raghunath's internal composure very much. He became quite disgusted with materialistic affairs, avoiding paying tax, lying and cheating. But in the mundane platform, one has to do it. Right? Even those days, people have to do it. Nowadays, of course, everyone is evading tax, if they can, especially the business people. They never declare the full amount that they earn. They have two books, white and black. In India, they call number one and number two. So, Raghunath Das Goswami was so disgusted with materialistic life, so he decided to leave. And although Raghunath became quite straight by in his dealings and people became quite reassured that he wasn't going to run away. So but still, there used to be 8 people always guarding Raghunath Das Goswami. Always they would guard him. And Raghunath Das Goswami would not sleep in the inside of the house. So he used to sleep outside. Outside the house, there used to be a kind of one temple which was kept empty. But during, you see, in India, they worship some gods and goddesses only at certain time of the year. They do not have the regular, continuous worship. Only from time to time, they worship mainly the worship of Durga or Devi is done once a year. So that place is called Chondi Mandap. Chondi is another name of Durga, and Mandap means kind of a temple. So that place is otherwise kept empty. Only during the time of Durga Puja, they install the Murti of Durga, the deity of Durga, and worship. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to sleep out there. India is a hot country, so people usually like to sleep outside. Prabhupada always used to sleep on the roof during the summer. He used to have a bed made of rope. You must have seen in India. It's called khatia. It's a frame. And in the wooden frame, they have kind of coir ropes woven together, making into a bed. So Prabhupada would sleep. There was one like that in Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada would sleep there. Of course, Prabhupada's bed was not made of coir ropes. It was actually made of cotton straps, thick cotton straps interwoven together. So anyway, so Raghunath used to sleep out in the Chandi Mandap, and people used to guard him constantly. So one day, Jadunandan Acharya came. Jadunandan Acharya was his Diksha Guru, and told him that his pujari ran away, and there is no one to do the puja. So he is in a fix now. So Raghunath Das Goswami thought that this is a good opportunity. So he told him not to worry. He said that I will go to the pujari's house and I will get the pujari to come. And saying that, so he and Jadunandan Acharya walked away from that place. And the guards thought he is going with his guru. did not accompany him. And so Raghunath Das Goswami told Jadunandan Acharya to go back and he will take care of everything. And saying that, he sent Jadunandan Acharya and he ran. He ran away. And he didn't take the main road. He ran through the forests and villages and village roads, country roads, so that his father won't catch him. And it has been described that within 7 days or 12 days, it took him only 12 days to reach Jagannath Puri. And he was constantly running. He was running, and when sometimes he would fall, he would become tired, or when it would become night. Yeah, at night he would just stop and sleep wherever the sun set. And for eating, he didn't eat anything. Once in a while, some people would offer him some milk. And so constantly running like that, he covered about 500 kilometers in only 12 days' time. And in marathon was only 26 kilometers. So you can see that those people were so expert. And Raghunath Das Goswami was just, he was not at all used to hardship. He was brought up in a very luxurious way. It's been described that he was used to sleeping in a very soft way. But here he didn't have any bed. Wherever he hit the ground, he just fell asleep. So this is how one can see that the attraction for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so great that one gives up all his body consciousness just being attracted by him. He was so much attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he didn't have any consideration whatsoever for his body. Another example is Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur also was the son of a king. He never knew any hardship. But Narottam Das Thakur, when he left home, he ran for Vrindavan. And from Bengal to Vrindavan is about 1500 kilometers. And he just reached there, running. Ran like a madman. So, in the meantime, the devotees from Bengal were going to Jagannath Puri for the Ratha Yatra festival. And like every year, in a big group, they used to travel under the guidance of Sivananda Sen. And Sivananda Sen was a friend of Raghunath Das Goswami's father. So Raghunath Das Goswami's father sent his men, some soldiers, to Sivananda Sen with a letter asking whether Raghunath was there in their group. And if he did, then please send him back home. So when the soldiers reached Sivananda Sen and the Bengali group, they found that Sivananda Sen told them that Raghunath was not there with them. Raghunath didn't come. And that way, running through the forest and country road, Raghunath Das Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri and surrendered himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, I forgot to mention one thing. So after that incident took place about his being arrested by the Nawab, soon after that, Nityananda Prabhu came to Panihati. Panihati is a place which is about 35 kilometers north of Calcutta, on the bank of the Ganges. And it was not very far from Raghunath Das Goswami's house, about 10-12 kilometers. So he got the news that Nityananda Prabhu came. So Raghunath Das Goswami went to see Nityananda Prabhu. And from a distance, when he saw Nityananda Prabhu sitting on the bank of the Ganges under a banyan tree, that banyan tree is still existing. It's still there. It's a very, very old banyan tree. And Nityananda Prabhu was sitting there, surrounded by his associates. So Raghunath Das Goswami offered him obeisances from a distance. And when Nityananda Prabhu was informed that Raghunath has come and he was offering obeisances, so Nityananda Prabhu, whose behavior was sometimes like a madman, Nityananda Prabhu started saying, "Oh, that thief has come, so bring him here." So he said, "You thief, come here, come close to me." So, but Raghunath Das Goswami would not go near Nityananda Prabhu due to awe and reverence. So Nityananda Prabhu sent some of his men to get Raghunath. So they just got hold of Raghunath and dragged him to Nityananda Prabhu. And then Nityananda Prabhu very mercifully placed his feet on his head. And this is how he showed his mercy upon him. And actually being touched by the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu means attaining the highest perfection of life. And then Nityananda Prabhu started to chastise Raghunath Das Goswami. Said, "You thief, you rascal, you have been running away from me all this while. So because of that, I'll give you some punishment. I'll punish you today. And the punishment is that you have to feed me and all my associates with chipped rice and yogurt. You have to throw us a feast. It's called Chiradoi festival." So Raghunath Das Goswami immediately started to organize it. He was very happy that Nityananda Prabhu blessed him like that. So he sent his men to buy all the chipped rice and all the yogurt that they could buy, and all the condensed milk, all the sweets. So from the nearby villages, wherever they got chiras or chipped rice and yogurt and condensed milk and sweets, brought all and had a huge feast. And Nityananda Prabhu invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the feast. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri. So Nityananda Prabhu asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared there. So Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked through all the devotees, and Nityananda Prabhu picked up some of the prasad and offered it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took some and offered it to Nityananda Prabhu. This way they walked through every devotee. And the news reached everywhere that there is a big feast, and everyone was invited. So people came in thousands upon thousands. And the sweet sellers, sweet vendors from distant places also got the news that there's going to be a feast. So they also came to sell their sweets, carrying their sweets in big pots. They arrived there, and so all the sweets were purchased. Whatever sweets they brought was purchased, and they were fed with their own sweets. So they had such a big feast that the whole land became covered. Then there was no land left, then they walked into the Ganges. And thus half the Ganges became filled with people. And they all were honoring this Chiradoi and shouting Hari Hari. And it has been described that this was actually the counterpart of Krishna's Pulin Bhojan. Krishna, with his cowherd boyfriend, used to sit on the bank of Jamuna and have a feast every day. So this was Krishna's Pulin Bhojan, or feast in the forest, picnic in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. Then after Raghunath Das Goswami was accepted by Nityananda Prabhu, soon after that Raghunath Das Goswami left and arrived in Jagannath Puri. And when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received him. He accepted him this time. And he offered him to Sharup Damodar Goswami. Told him, "Sharup, you take care of Raghunath." Sharup Damodar Goswami was Mahaprabhu's most intimate associates. And so Raghunath became his, Mahaprabhu put him under his custody. So Raghunath Das Goswami's father got the news that Raghunath was in Jagannath Puri. So when the news arrived, when the news reached the house, then Raghunath Das Goswami's mother told his father that this time when you bring him back, tie him down with a chain. Don't let him loose at all, just tie him down with a chain. And Raghunath Das Goswami's father said that the opulence like that of Indra and the beautiful wife like the goddess of fortune could not tie him down. So do you think you can tie him down with just some mere chain? If these cannot tie him down, how can you ever tie him down? So better let him be wherever he is. Don't, let us not try to bring him back home. Let him be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, and his father said that one who receives the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes mad. So Raghunath has become mad. So you won't be able to tie him down with anything. So let him be there. And his father sent a lot of money and four servants to take care of him. Thought that let him be in Jagannath Puri, but let him be happy. So let him live comfortably. So Raghunath Das Goswami, with that money that he received from his father, he used to organize big feasts and invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other Vaishnavas. But then Raghunath Das Goswami wondered that I have taken shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why should I take the money from my father who is a karmi? He said that this money is not, using my father's money to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not proper. So I will not depend on my father or his father or his health. So thinking that Raghunath Das Goswami sent the money and the men back to his father's house. So in the meantime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, Swarup, what happened? Raghunath does not invite us to this feast anymore. Then Swarup Damodar said, actually, Raghunath has gave up the servants and the money that his father sent. And so that's why he doesn't offer you, or he doesn't invite you to the feast, because he feels guilty using his father's money to invite you in a feast. So Mahaprabhu became very happy. And in the meantime, Raghunath Das Goswami used to stand by the main gate of Jagannath temple. And when the pujaris used to go by, they used to give him some Mahaprasad. And with that, he used to maintain himself. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know that Raghunath is begging on the Singha Dwar, then Mahaprabhu didn't like it. He said, begging in the Singha Dwar is like prostitution. And Mahaprabhu explained why. The way a prostitute waiting for the customer thinks that, oh, maybe this man is going to come to me and give me a lot of money. But the man goes away and she thinks, well, the next one is going to come. So this way she keeps on expecting. The same way when one begs in Singha Dwar, he develops the same kind of mentality. Probably this one will give me something. Oh, he didn't give me any prasad. Okay, maybe the next one who is coming, he will give. So this is how Mahaprabhu disapproved it. So Raghunath Das Goswami, as soon as he got to know about that, he stopped begging on Singha Dwar. And he used to go to the chhatro where food used to be distributed to the poor people. So Raghunath started to eat that offering. The beggars, the food, that something like our Food for Life program. The food is offered to all kinds of people, beggars and bums. So Raghunath, although he was the son of a king, he would just sit there with the beggars and receive some food. And so when Mahaprabhu got to know that, he was very, very happy. He became very happy. And so this is how, through Raghunath Das Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the science of renunciation. One of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, or one of the aspects of devotional service is vairagya, renunciation. But this renunciation is a spontaneous renunciation. Bhakti parishanubhavo virakti ranatrashat. One becomes detached to matter, being attached to Krishna. Virakti means disgust. Bhakti parasho anubhavo. When one develops pure devotion to the Lord, then he automatically becomes disgusted with everything else. And that takes place according to one's Krishna consciousness. To the degree we become Krishna conscious, to that degree we become renounced. It is not an artificial thing. It's a natural thing. It is, or we can say, detachment and devotion are directly proportionate. To that degree one will become detached to man. So, this is how Mahaprabhu showed through Raghunath, like he was the son of a king. And when he wanted to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu said, don't display all kinds of false renunciation. Do not display monkey renunciation. Markat vairagya na karo lok dekhaiya. just in order to get some name and fame, don't show your monkey renunciation. So then, Raghunath Das Goswami received the mercy of Nityananda, and when his heart became totally detached, really detached from matter, of course he is always detached from matter, but just for the sake of teaching us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made him perform this pastime. And then, when he was situated in proper mood of detachment, then Mahaprabhu allowed him to leave home. And he, like a madman, he came to Puri. Becoming mad by the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Puri. And in Puri, he was using his father's money to feed the Vaishnavas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he gave that up. As his attachment increased, he gave that up. He started to beg from Singhadwar. Then he started to beg from the shops where they sell Krishna Prasad. Then he gave that up and he started to eat some prasad that were offered to the beggars. And this is how Raghunath Das Goswami became detached. And ultimately, Raghunath Das Goswami used to drink only a little buttermilk in a leaf cup every 3 days. Once in every 3 days, he would just drink a little buttermilk. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Raghunath Das Goswami decided to give up his body. He was so heartbroken, he decided to give up his body by jumping from the top of Govardhan Hill. So thinking that, he went to Govardhan, he went to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, he saw Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And seeing them, he felt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually didn't leave. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still there. And he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami also advised him that, Raghunath, don't do that. They could read Raghunath's heart. They could understand that Raghunath was planning to give up his body. So Sanatana Goswami told him not to do that. And Sanatana Goswami himself had been instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to give up his body. Sanatana, if by giving up this body I could get Krishna, then I would give up thousands upon thousands of bodies. But do you think just by committing suicide, just by giving up this body, you can get Krishna? No. We can get Krishna only through our love for him, not by any other means. So Raghunath Das Goswami became very, very affected by this instruction of Sanatana Goswami. And he decided to leave, or rather he decided to stay. And actually the Goswamis of Vrindavan were very happy to receive Raghunath, because Raghunath Das Goswami knew all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Vrindavan. In Jagannath Puri. So he would tell them. Every day, Raghunath Das Goswami would tell them about Mahaprabhu's pastimes in elaborate details, what Mahaprabhu did in Jagannath Puri, because the devotees in Vrindavan were deprived of Mahaprabhu's direct association. So, they heard from Raghunath Das Goswami about Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, getting most of the information, the descriptive information he got from Raghunath Das Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's basis of Chaitanya Charitamrita was actually Murari Gupta's diary and Swarup Damodar's diary. But the details of the information he got from Raghunath Das Goswami. That's why after every chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Kaviraj writes that offering obeisances to Raghunath, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, and begging their mercy forever, I, Krishna Das, describe the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why in our parampara, we draw the line, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, from Raghunath Das Goswami, whereas Krishna Das Kaviraj was not actually initiated by Raghunath Das Goswami, but he was his Shiksha Guru. Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So this is how Raghunath Das Goswami displayed his wonderful pastimes, and this is our heritage actually. This is our line where such stalwart acharyas have glorify this parampara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parampara, or our Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, especially in the line of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. They all were very, very great personalities. They are all eternal associates of Krishna. They all were very, very intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were the greatest of people that the world has ever heard of. Like, as I mentioned, the son of a king, a prince, gave up everything and became a mendicant. Takta turna mashesha mandala puti srenim sada tuchyavat bhutva dina ganeshako korunaya kaupi na kantha shuto. Takta turna mashesha mandala puti srenim sada tuchyavat. Very, very negligently, very, very careless, without making any consideration, they rejected the association of kings and monarchs. Ashesha mandala putishrani. Ashesha means unlimited. They were in the association of unlimited kings and monarchs, but they have given that up. Tuchyavat. Tuchya means very neglectfully. And bhutva dina ganeshako korunaya kaupi na kantha shuto. In order to bestow their causeless mercy upon the conditioned living entities, they have accepted kaupin and kantha. Kaupin and kantha means a worn out quilt. In India, poor people, they stitch up worn out clothes together. When the clothes are worn out, they're torn. You singularly, you can't use them. But they put 5-6 of this cloth together and they stitch it up. So that is called kantha. It's quite worn. Because there are so many layers of cloth that actually there in between there is air. That air becomes warm. So it keeps on very warm. But it's a poor man's quilt. Poor people cannot afford to have a regular quilt. Made of cotton wool, yeah. So that's why they use this kantha. So Goswamis of Vrindavan, Vrindavan is actually very, very cold. Very cold. Unbearable cold. Mainly because there is no heating system. So here, of course, in the West, although it's very cold, but you have a heating system. But in Vrindavan, there's no heating. And they used to live under a tree. But all they had to cover themselves is just a quilt. And why did they do that? Bhutva dina ganeshako korunaya. In order to bestow their mercy upon the fallen conditioned soul. So today is Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day. So let us try to meditate upon him as much as we can, and we can take their example for our future progress. We can meditate upon them and make them our example so that we can follow their footsteps in the process of devotional service. Thank you all very much.
Did he get the gift from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Yeah. Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami that he gave him his Govardhan Shila and his Gunja Mala. It's a mala, it's a garland made of gunja seeds. It's a reddish seed of a fruit. Mahaprabhu gave that to Raghunath.
Is there not also Leela when Raghunath Das was old and he could not anymore
go around the Govardhan?
Go around Govardhan.
Right.
You can tell
me. Yeah. So Govardhan actually appeared to him in the form of a Shila and wanted him to just do the parikrama of that.
This Shila is now in the Radha Damodar temple?
No, not Radha Damodar temple. That Shila, no, that is another Shila actually. Does Radha Damodar? No, that Shila is in Radha Gokulananda temple. And yeah, that Shila is there.
Yeah, this is his point now that I'm trying to get now. Raghunatha Goswami, super rich. Like by standards like Onassis, something like that. By today's standards somewhere, his father was like something like Onassis.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? He could have gone and built all the temples in Vrindavan with that money, but it wasn't supposed to be like that. So there's a way, I mean, we're not supposed to take money from everybody somehow by this example. I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? I'm not so clear. But
yeah. You see, the acharyas come and preach according to time, place and circumstances. That was the time when there was no need for building big temples as such. The importance was to write down the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and establish the bona fide of this movement. Right? So that's why they were into just writing that. Nana shastra vichare naiko nipunam shaddharma samsthapako lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manno saran na karo. Nana shastra vichare naiko nipunam. Very expertly, they have consulted all different scriptures and established the essence of it in the form of a perfect religion that was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was their mission, that's why they did it. Whereas when Prabhupada came, the importance was to build temples, big temples, and have a big, you know, preaching program to attract people. Right? So, you see, according to their time, it was perfect what they did. But according to this time, what Prabhupada did is perfect. Right? So that's why Prabhupada is using this temple just to attract people. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said, that I would have been happy sitting by the Ganges under a tree. But then you all wouldn't have come. You all wouldn't be attracted to me. You know? Like, who is this man sitting out on the bank of a Ganges? Right? But when there's a big temple, they become attracted. Oh, let us go and see the Hare Krishna temple. Right? Although we know that the Hare Krishnas are weird people. Right? But they built a nice temple. So let's go and see them. See the temple. So they come to see the temple, and there, when they come in contact with the devotees, then they see, these people are wonderful. They're so friendly, they're so wise, and they have such a wonderful philosophy, and they serve such beautiful prasad. So once they come, you see, the temples are there for the initial attraction. But once they come here, then they're hooked by everything that is there in the temple.
Uno chiede se lo dice a tanto che nel primo canto dello Shimon Bhagavatam ha detto che c'è un verso che dice appunto che ogni occupazione che non permette di sviluppare il desiderio per l'ascolto di ciò che si riferisce a Krishna è praticamente un'attività inutile, no? Allora voglio sapere questo, cioè Raghunath Dasa Goswami quando stava appunto svolgendo quelle attività, come diceva appunto il Maharaj, che pur esternamente facendole non era attaccato interiormente, volevo sapere se però indirettamente le offriva a Krishna, anche se non erano per...
He said that in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto is mentioned that if one performs duties that are not increasing our desire to hear about the glories of the Lord, this, do this, or a waste of time. And now his question is that you spoke about Raghunath Das Goswami, that he had to go home and perform these duties, and internally was detached. He was asking, yes, that he offered them indirectly to Krishna or something like that. The results of...
So why Mahaprabhu did that? That's the question? Yeah. Why Mahaprabhu instructed him to go home?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what the matter is. Perché Mahaprabhu l'ha fatto questo?
Ma perché, cioè, per voler capire, cioè, perché il fatto di parlare dei discorsi di Krishna, cioè Kirtana, e il fatto di ascoltare Shravana, non sono diversi, no? Cioè Raghunath Das ha sviluppato il Kirtana, cioè parlare dei divertimenti di Krishna, no? Però se ogni attività che si svolge sviluppa il desiderio di ascoltare, no? Cioè come ha fatto Raghunath Das, che non è che facesse, non so, un'attività normale, no? Diciamo, ordinaria, a sviluppare il gusto di descrivere i divertimenti di Krishna, parlare dei divertimenti di Krishna.
How Raghunath had about this desire, although he was performing normal activities, how
Develop the desire, what desire?
To hear about Krishna, to be attracted to Krishna.
Right. I mean, what's the question actually? I didn't
get it. I repeat what he said.
Like in one way, yeah. Maybe ask him to make the question short and, you know, concise.
Cioè,
what exactly, what's the main point he wants to know?
Cioè, ogni attività devozionale dovrebbe far sviluppare l'ascolto di ciò che si riferisce a Krishna. Cioè, era una task invece di sviluppare ascolto, ha sviluppato il gusto di trasmettere questi divertimenti, che non è diverso, no? Cioè, ma che attività faceva era una task con suo anno? Se lui non era interessato alla vita materiale, non interessava tutti questi affari, tutte queste cose, cioè come ha potuto sviluppare tutto per trasmettere questo kirtan, trasmettere questo messaggio?
Anche trasmettere la città.
No, a parlare quando era andata a Vrindavan, uno che parlava sempre di divertimento, quindi diciamo...
E c'è stato già della pubblica, con città di Mahaprabhu. You told already during the class what he says. He's now asking. He said why Raghunath was speaking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. You told because he was in Chaitanya Puri and he was experiencing all the pastimes of the Lord.
Nice. Clear now? Any other question?
So Raghunath Das took not the money of his parents, as you said, because this was money from karmis. But we take also money from karmis and use it in the service of the Vaishnava Krishna.
Yes. One thing we have to learn or we have to understand is that we cannot actually imitate this very, very great devotee. You see, the things that they can do, from our platform, we cannot really do that. Right. So that's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much against these Babajis, because they externally imitate them. They imitate their external activity, but internally they don't understand their mood. Right. So our mood is that we are not in a position of Raghunath Das Goswami. Right. He could give up everything and live under a tree, but we cannot, especially when our spiritual master told us to preach. So we stay in the middle of the cities and we try to involve everybody. Like, no matter how sinful the person is, still we don't hesitate to take his money. And as long as that money is used in Krishna's service, we are safe. The problem is if we take the karmi money and use it for ourselves, then we take the karmi. But if we take their money but use it for Krishna's service, then there is no karma involved. It's like when you take some food, offer it to Krishna, the food becomes karma-free. Right? The same way, you take the money and offer it to Krishna, what happens to the money? Money also becomes karma-free. Right? You are not using it for your sense gratification. Right? So you do not have to take their karma.
Yes, like, as you answered the question to
Jagannath.
Yes, before it was like for me a contradiction, you know? Like, in one instruction of Rupa Goswami is anasaktasya vishayangataram prayojitaram. So, and then you see Raghunath giving this this money that he could use, or Sanatana Goswami with the touchstone like that. But as you nicely explained, with the time, place, and circumstances at that time, actually there was no need of money and this thing like now. That was.
And the main thing is that when we become elevated, we'll never become elevated to that standard. But if by our great fortune, if we come somewhere near them, then we also will not feel the need of touchstone. Actually, go to think of it, you know, if you think, I mean, what am I going to do with a touchstone? Right? And you feel that actually you don't have any need for that. And also our big temples, Prabhupada sometimes actually displayed that mood. That big temple, although we are building for to attract the people, but it will cause a lot of disturbance. And it does cause a lot of disturbance. Like, to give an example, it's a little, you know, like, it. Take it, you know, with proper understanding. I mean, it may sound political, but like, take it with proper understanding. Because I'm giving a very, I think, you know, every devotee should be aware of what's happening in ISKCON, right? Like, for instance, in Bombay, we have a big temple, right? Huge temple. Very attractive, very opulent. We have a lot of money also coming because people give money where there is a lot of opulence. There's a expression to carry coal to Newcastle, right? Or anyway, now if we consider properly, then we see that this Bombay temple is not actually attracting high class devotees. You know, the people, those who are into sense gratification, these kind of people are mostly, you know, are attracted to that. Whereas, we have another counter group there, Kirtananda's group. They are preaching. They are living in a very small place, right? Just one apartment they have. But, you know, they are attracting, you know, a lot of intelligent class of people. Because when somebody comes with proper, for the sake of Krishna consciousness, they don't care about big or small temple or luxurious living or money or thing. They want Krishna. And somehow, you know, I have to honestly admit that they are getting it more in Kirtananda Swami's place than in our Bombay temple. So we have to be very careful. Like, we must have these things because Prabhupada wanted. We do not say that we give up Bombay temple. It is Prabhupada's blood, sweat and tears. Right? And Prabhupada struggled so hard to build the temple. But we have lost the essence of Prabhupada's teaching. Right? I mean, Prabhupada wanted us to become renounced. That if we want to follow, this is how we have to follow the Goswamis. If we have to follow the Goswamis, Goswamis also built big temple. Right? Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami built huge temple. Rupa Goswami is Govindaji's temple, Prabhupada said. It's actually, this is one of the 8 wonders in the world. Right? And although he built the temple, he lived under a tree. He did not take up the biggest room in the temple for himself. Whereas we tend to use the temple, big temples, for our enjoyment. And that mood should be given up. Actually, in ISKCON we need a big reformation. A lot of impurities have crept into our society. It has to be purified. It has to be purified. We must develop the mood of Krishna consciousness, and that is what you say, Anashaktushu Vishayan. We must need it. We will use everything for Krishna, but with a mood of detachment. Same thing is happening, you know, like was happening in many other temples, because we developed a very, very strong mood of enjoyment, which is very detrimental to Krishna consciousness. Very detrimental to Krishna consciousness. And we should be very, very vigilant, very careful that we do not deviate from the main teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada made a perfect harmony of using everything in Krishna's service. Use everything, but you remain detached. That is what Prabhupada's teachings were. And that was Prabhupada exemplified it too. Although Prabhupada was the richest man, Actually, Prabhupada was the richest man on earth. Right? But Prabhupada himself was totally unaffected by anything. And if we just emphasize opulence, and that's what I was actually trying to say through that example. If we emphasize opulence, then, you know, the people, those who are, you know, into sense enjoyment, they'll be attracted. Right? But if we attract them with opulence, but then give them Krishna consciousness, right? Then the genuine people will come forward. And coming in contact with us, they will also give up their opulence. Like when Prabhupada came, what happened? I mean, all, you know, young boys and girls from rich background, they have given their parents, or give up their parents' wealth, gave up everything and came to Prabhupada. So, I mean, that's what we have to do. We have to teach people how to give up their material attachments. Not invite them to come to our temple and indulge in comforts and luxury. Especially in a country like India, it's very, very tricky. Because India is a poor country. There's a lot of poor people in India. Right? And if we just attract them with our opulence and do not give them Krishna consciousness, then they'll be totally misled. They'll be totally misled. And as a matter of fact, we have not attracted so many people in India. In India, the attraction for ISKCON is still not very mature. And unfortunately, all the high-class people, not all, some of the high-class intelligent Indians that we attracted, Kirtananda took them away. Because they became attracted to his preaching, because he presented, you know, there was some force in his preaching. He gave Krishna and they became attracted by him, his preaching. So when the time came, they followed him. Many of them became initiated by him because he was the most powerful preacher. Right? So intelligent class of people will be attracted to the kind of preaching that you are doing, not by the kind of display of opulence that you are doing. So opulence for us is secondary. Krishna consciousness is the primary thing. So with that understanding, we have to carry on. Then only it will be successful. It's a perfect balance. Initially, you attract them by the opulence of Krishna. But then you give them the essence of Krishna.
So this is a question of maturity?
Yes, we didn't come here to become immature. Right? Or remain immature. We came here to become mature. The sooner we become mature is better for us.
So it seems like, you know, the more the opulence in the temple, the less the potency. I mean, that seems to be like a...
Not always. Not always. If you develop the Vaikuntha mood, then it won't be. Like, if all the opulence is used for Krishna's service, then everything will be alright. Right? But there is a danger that we may use the opulence for our sense gratification. Right? That is the greatest danger. That's why devotees usually take up a mood of detachment. That they're afraid to indulge. That should be the basic
thing. They don't need to start.
Right? But unfortunately, with some devotees, especially some leading devotees, the mood was, who can display more opulence? Right? And sort of that, when that became a kind of a standard in our society had gone through a lot of difficulty.
And the other thing, what is Kirtananda saying? I mean, how is he saying that he's able to take our devotees from us? I mean,
he doesn't care.
He must be doing something good too, somehow. Or is he just doing like guerrilla warfare?
Something good. I don't think he is doing good because he is not following Prabhupada's instruction.
Yes.
Right? And so when somebody acts, no matter how great a person he is, but if he doesn't follow his guru, then he becomes useless.
I mean, like when you came to England last year, they managed to stop him in his tracks. Pretty much.
Yeah, because in England they are together.
Oh, okay.
they're pretty together in England. I mean, they took care of, and also some they made some strategy.
Strategy, yeah.
Right. But if you let him loose, then he would have created havoc.
There is a subtle point that I cannot understand in this relationship. That from one side, okay, it doesn't follow the instruction of Prabhupada, but on the other side, you say, yes, he is now in Bombay, and his preaching is very successful because he can give Krishna. So
no, not he can give Krishna. I'm saying that his preaching sounds quite Krishna conscious to the intelligent class.
How is it that he doesn't follow, and like, he has this potency to attract people.
He's, what kind of people he's attracting? The innocent people. Innocent people do not know what is right and what is wrong. But they have some attraction for Krishna. They have developed some attraction by reading Prabhupada's books. See, to explain it, somebody reads Prabhupada's book. Go to think of it. You read Prabhupada's book. You never knew ISKCON. You read Srila Prabhupada's books. Right? You became attracted to Krishna consciousness. Right? Then you come to the temple and then you see that one person, you know, he is very much into showing off his opulence, right? He is just displaying his opulence. And another person, he is talking about Krishna consciousness, right? Now, who will be attracted to? You'll be attracted naturally to the person who is talking about Krishna consciousness. Now, it's natural. So that is the superficial consideration, apparent consideration. Now, when you go deep, then if you see that between these two persons, one who is displaying his opulence and not really talking about Krishna so much, right, or displaying so much Krishna consciousness, he is following the instructions of his guru. But the other person, who is talking very eloquently, he is not really so much dedicated to his guru. On the other hand, he wants to compete with his guru and become as big or greater than his guru. Now, between these two, who is better?
The person who follows the instruction of Prabhupada.
Right.
Because by following them,
right,
he gets purified and he gets also on the platform where he can renounce his opponents.
Right. But because you are not so deeply involved into the nitty-gritties, right? In your eyes, it doesn't become obvious who is really following the instruction of the spiritual master. So that's why you'll notice that the neophyte people become attracted to Kirtananda Swami, whereas all the senior devotees of ISKCON, they are dead against him. Because they realize that he is the biggest threat to us, integrity of our society now. You see, Prabhupada said that nothing can actually destroy this movement from outside. It can be destroyed only from inside. And at least in my mind, it's very, very clear. I can see where he is at. Because last 1 year, I was with Prabhupada. And that's the time Prabhupada gave most potent instructions. And of all of Prabhupada's instructions, in my mind, three instructions are most important. No matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. Your cooperation with each other will show how much you love me. Right? And GBC is the ultimate managing authority. But unfortunately, Kirtananda Swami rejected all these three instructions of Prabhupada. He doesn't care about ISKCON. He thinks that he'll build another ISKCON, right, himself. He doesn't want to cooperate with anyone. Only those who sell themselves off to him, he can work with them or they can work with him, right? And he thinks that he calls the GBC by all kinds of names. He says the GBC is the assembly of dogs. Those are just barking. So, I mean, that's his attitude. So, you know, I mean, when somebody doesn't follow Prabhupada's instruction, how can he have any bona fide whatsoever?
So that means he commits a lot of offense, but still he goes on. How is it possible?
For how long? For how long? I mean, so many people had been going on, right? I mean, in our society, we have seen so many people had been going on for so many years, but where are they now today? So the same way, you know, whoever doesn't follow Prabhupada's instructions will not last for very long.
So time will speak.
Time will tell. Time will tell. And time is already telling. Time is already telling. Many, many of his main men have left now. Kuladri was his right-hand man. Kuladri left. Right? I mean, so many, Sri Galim, I don't even know their names. So many have. And recently he gave sannyas to women. I mean, it's a totally insanity. They're carrying danda. So, I mean, anybody will see that he has gone mad. Yeah, they're giving Bhagavatam lectures, and even the male sannyasis have to offer them obeisances.
He has also maybe some power because he takes a lot of renunciation. So Hiranyakashipu, for example,
yeah,
also
that's
very
another
much renounced, but he had power, but
yeah, the power is not Krishna consciousness. Right. Power and Krishna consciousness are two different things. And devotees will be empowered by Krishna. He may be basically very weak, right? But Krishna will empower when it is needed. Krishna, if he wants, he can make an ant hold the entire universe. That is the omnipotency of Krishna. So we do not have to hanker for power ourselves. Anyway, it got into a pretty deep discussion. I hope it doesn't disturb anyone. If it disturbs anybody, you can clarify with me. I mean, I can explain. At the same time, I also feel that devotees should know. Why should you keep them in darkness? Let them know everything. And then they will become mature. We haven't come here, as I said, to become immature. We have to become mature. We have to know what is what. Because today, one who is following, tomorrow he'll have to become a leader. This society is actually the movement of leaders. But in order to lead, first we follow. We have to lead the whole world. And the ISKCON devotees have to take the leading position. Every single devotee has to be a leader. Ultimately. But we become a leader being a follower of our authority. We do not become independent and then leaders. And that's how the parampara maintains. The line, disciplic succession carries on.
I think personally also it's good that devotee know these things, because if one keeps them ignorant and a certain one sees all this problem, then
right,
it could create a big disturbance. One thinks, I was thinking this and is everything going nice and now I see so many
problems. That's true. So many people got disturbed. So many people got disturbed and left. So, I mean, I know of many, many people in India and also in the West. For instance, your neighboring country, Italy, has been so badly affected. So many people lost faith because Bhagavan Prabhu was, they were made to believe that he is as good as God. I mean, he's perfect, he's purest person. And then all of a sudden they hear that he ran away with a woman.
Is that not how you're supposed to see your guru?
Huh?
You're supposed to see him as the representative of God. It's perfect. So
well, disciples should always look at the guru as perfect. But guru should always try to become perfect. Right? Guru should know that he is representing God, that is his perfection. So as much as he represents God, to that extent he will become perfect. So that is how they maintain the balance. The disciple thinks that my guru is as good as God. But guru thinks I am simply the humble servant of my guru. I am the humble servant of Krishna. So this is how the balance is maintained. The disciple offers all the worship to the guru. But the guru passes all that he receives to his guru. And through his guru to Krishna. So that is the beauty of the disciplic succession. But if I don't, right, if I take the disciple's worship and think that actually I am the guru, actually I am as good as Krishna, and everything should be offered to me, then I become vulnerable. And very soon I fall down. Transparent via media means nothing actually is retained. Via medium, everything passes through. So guru is a medium. He is not holding anything back. Through him, everything reaches Krishna. Right? So guru has to be transparent. If we don't become transparent, if we become opaque, then we will become laden with karmas and we will fall down.
Volevo chiedere questa cosa qua, cioè è giusto che un discepolo senza mancanza di sfiducia, senza mancanza di sfiducia, o molto spesso si dice che il discepolo deve seguire il maestro spirituale ciecamente, però nell'ISKCON di i maestri spirituali sia Diksha che Shiksha, cioè è giusto che un discepolo di un certo Diksha si informi da altri suoi confratelli, che magari non sono Diksha o magari lo sono, del modo di gestire una certa zona, un certo tipo di devoto, un certo modo, la coscienza di Krishna. Cioè, ti faccio esempio, come è successo con Vandana Prabhu, no? Cioè che uno era giusto che potesse anche andarsi a informare da un suo confratello se lui stava facendo giusto, se stava seguendo giusto, se è giusto che facesse così, o anche informarsi da altri shiksha, perché ci sono diversi shiksha nel disco. È giusto questo, che un discepolo indiscriminatamente di qualsiasi altro dice possa farlo, oppure è considerato una cosa come per dire, ma allora non è fiducia nel maestro spirituale?
This question is that now I am a disciple of a Diksha Guru, is it proper that I go, for example, to the God brothers of the spirit of my spiritual master and ask if he's doing okay, and or is it an offense? And
yeah, it's true. Like these doubts are natural, because when you have trusted somebody so much, and if you feel that trust has been broken, then you naturally feel very hurt, and you will naturally think that probably everyone has fallen, right? So, but at the same time, one should be careful, because better not. The best way solution to that is don't become blind with your faith.